Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poor Man's Podcast, Sports Extra, with the sports guy, JP. JP, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How's it going over in Poor Man's Studios?
It's great over here. We have the sports guy, JP, calling in. I'm here in Poor Man's Studios. I guess I didn't introduce myself, but my name is Chris Hopper. I would assume you would know that by now if you've subscribed to the podcast and you're listening, but I guess it would help if I introduced myself. But we decided, you know what? Football season starting, that's what we are both into. That's what Pittsburgh's into. We have hockey season starting, but as the Pirates are playing, nobody really cares about that. So sports guy JP and I decided, you know what, let's do this the sports extra. We did have JP on the show all the time for all your gambling needs and just sports talk in general. And now we thought, you know what, since we could do that each week and now we're having more and more guests, why not just do a sports show separately? So sports guy JP obliged, and we'll be bringing this to you, hopefully for the foreseeable future each week.
Absolutely. I look forward to another successful year in the NFL. It's definitely my forte, and I look forward to helping out as best I can, whether it's in the gambling books or if you just want to, you know your stuff for your fantasy seasons.
That's right. We were talking about that. We don't have too much fantasy prepared right now. And sports guy JP is a fantasy expert from the leagues he's been in his life. He's a perennial all-star champion. So he definitely has some good advice. But we thought people would be interested in the gambling aspect as well as just local stories, national stories, and just random sports-related things. JP, what kind of news do you want to start out with today?
Well, locally, we still see TJ Watts holding out drills at Steelers camp.
And what exactly, why is he holding? I know is he on his last year of his contract? Yes, I mean, that's typically when the holdout is.
Oh. Yeah, he's set to still make about $10.5 million, I've heard.
Really? That's pretty big for a rookie deal. A lot of times you see rookies that are playing and they're like, okay, I'm going to make $75,000 or $750,000. And they're like an all-star. Like, I think Aaron Donald was like that or something. And they need to get their money.
They're just not what they used to be, you know. I remember, like, Sam Bradford would make, like, $100 million before even taking a snap.
Right. Whoever was the first, I think it was, like, Jamarcus Russell. Who was the guy on the Texans? Not Staving Clowney. Mario Williams. He made a ton of, he was, like, the highest salaried player of all time, and he never played a snap or something like that, or something along those lines. You know what I mean? But okay, so he's finishing out his rookie year. Did he say anything about missing games?
So potentially, Tomlin's optimistic of getting the deal done. I think like he wants to play, and obviously they want to have him there. But Watt's big deal right now is he wants more guaranteed money down the road, and the Steelers don't do that past year one. And they,
I know the Steelers say they don't like to do that, but they normally don't have the best edge rusher in the game. Well, actually, that's not true. Because if you look back, outside linebacker is kind of what the Steelers' defense is really based on, the nose tackle, that 3-4 front. But those outside rushers are whether you're going to get your pass rush, whether it Harrison, Joey Porter back in the day, Lamar Woodley, Bud Dupree, who just left. I think you should pay the man.
I do too. He feels different. Like, growing up watching those guys, this guy feels like the best pass rusher in the game. And if not best pass rusher, definitely best outside linebacker pass rusher.
For sure.
Whereas when guys like Higgins and Porter, Woodley, Harrison, they were all great. But I don't know. Maybe Harrison would have been regarded as the best at one point in their career.
Yeah, he was a defensive player of the year.
Fits that. These guys never did.
I agree. It could be just a system they're in. I mean, the outside linebackers, like I said, it seems like they're the ones making the best plays. Or at least the sacks and stuff. The sexy numbers.
Right, and TJ Watts recorded throughout his career, he's half a sack shy of 50 through 4 years.
Holy crap!
The last 2 years alone, he's led the league combined.
Okay, wait, sports guy JP. So, I'm sorry, he's played 3 full years so far?
Four.
Oh, he's played 4 years already.
Yeah.
This is his fifth year.
Yeah, he's
entering. Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. But still, if he plays a 16-year career, that would... It's insane to me. I mean, this is kind of a non sequitur, but it's relevant. Bruce Smith's 200 sacks, is that going to get touched? That seems so outrageous now.
Yeah, it's a huge drop off because Reggie White's 198, I think, following that's like 165.
Yeah, I think Jason Taylor is up there.
So even getting in between just two and three is nearly impossible.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's insane to think that. I mean, to get 200, you'd have to have a, you know, say a 10-year career, which is insane just to have that, where you're getting 20 sacks a season, which what's the sack record in a season? 23? 23 and a half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 22 and a half.
Oh, is it? Okay. I believe that. I was way off. But it was, yeah. Still, you have to have almost the record for sacks for a decade.
Right, like that's never going to be touched. Even in a league where it's going to become more passing friendly, even back then, like Smith played in an era where it was run the ball first too. So like, it's crazy to think that.
And I'm pretty sure Bruce Smith predominantly played in a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, for Buffalo, and it was just incredible that you're going to play end in a 3-4 run friendly league. Plus, like, their division, like, I don't even know anything about any of those teams from the 90s. Still, like, Bledsoe took over.
The one thing that will help a lot of people with the numbers is that it's going to a 17-game schedule. So you have your extra game, and, I mean, maybe it should be judged differently. If you look at games played, then maybe you could do that, but we can get back to TJ Watt. I know that it was kind of we took a course, but 50 sacks in 4 years, that's... I mean, if he plays...
He has 42 and a half sacks in 47 games over the last three seasons, 17 forced fumbles through his career, a lead. He had eight alone in 2019.
Eight forced fumbles?
Yes.
That's insane. He really is. He's a star. He is a top defensive player in the league. He's top one or two, I think, with Aaron Donald. Especially when it comes, at least for pass rushing. Nobody is ever going to be like Aaron Donald. I've never seen a defensive tackle get the pass rush the way he has, just dominating the interior line. But TJ Watt, I think, as far as outside rushing, is the premier rusher in the league. And I think he should be paid. And I understand the Steelers do certain things, and the Steelers do things pretty good if you look at their track record, letting people go when they should. But when you see a guy in his prime, You have to pay him. If you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay?
Right, that was the next thing I was going to do. They don't negotiate deals after week one, they say. So, like, a deal has to be coming shortly if it is. Plus, Roethlisberger, this could be the last year of his deal. I don't think they're going to give Hayden an extension, even though he was asking for it. But who else are you paying if you're not going to be paying Hayden or Roethlisberger, which are two cap hits? You know, like, they're not really paying a running back or wide receiver. So, like, I don't know. You know, DeCastro and Pouncey are both gone. Who are you paying on this team?
Second to Watt, I would think the next best player is Minkah Fitzpatrick. And then after that, I really don't know who you're going to... If you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay, really? And all their other stars, like Hayward or whoever, Roethlisberger, who's probably not going to play for... Hopefully not going to play for more than another year or two... Hayden, I don't see them re-signing him other than maybe a one-year deal, and I think they would sign him year to year.
Yeah, exactly, and Roethlisberger's cap hit alone is going to be enough to get TJ Watt signed, I feel like, if you, like, prepare for a year. I mean, then you draft a rookie quarterback or whatever you have to do. That's, like, 3 to 5 years worth of a rookie contract, so you have time to negotiate.
Plus the cap goes up every year. New money is coming in with TV deals. I think it's going to get done. I don't know why they're dragging their feet, but hopefully it does get done, and hopefully it gets done soon so he doesn't have to worry about it. If you're saying it's guaranteed money later on, I understand that from his perspective, and I think the Steelers should bite the bullet this time.
Steelers could make him play at the 10.5 this year and franchise tag for the next two seasons if they wanted.
I think he's young enough that you should still lock him up. He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not, you know, a running back who could blow out their knee or, I mean, not that he couldn't, but I think linebackers are more durable and he's at the age where lock him up for 6 years right now.
Yeah, he's 26 at the moment. Yeah, you get him until he's in his, like, you know.
Or 30, you know, 4 to 6 years, something around there. And you know, I think it's money well spent, even if there's a dramatic injury that leaves him. Like, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it.
Plus, in today's game and age, you need pass rusher. And Steelers develop great ones, and I think he is at the top of the game. No matter who's playing alongside him, whether it's Ingram or Highsmith, you know, when Tuitt's back, Hayward, all these guys will produce much greater numbers when T.J. Watt's on the field.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you have anything other than T.J. Watt for the Steelers, or do you want to get into some of the gambling, some of the national news?
Steelers are a +6.5 against Buffalo this week.
They're getting 6.5, correct?
Yeah, so I like Buffalo.
Are they playing in Buffalo? Because that's a big spread.
Yeah, they're in Buffalo. Plus, T.J. Watt, I know he's not doing team drills. He's doing the individual drills. But I don't know if he'll be prepared for week one in best form.
Is he supposed to be playing? He's not going to, like, hold out?
Most likely he will play. But, you know, he hasn't practiced necessarily, like, fully. And I just think Buffalo is going to be a better team. I don't think Roethlisberger at this age and the rest of that offense will keep up with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who have now have Emmanuel Sanders, who's still explosive. They've upgraded the pass rush. And I think it's a young team that's, you know,
I really think it's going to be the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC. I think it's a two-horse race for the AFC crown.
But, yeah, I think what Mahomes was doing was so rare at the time because it was kind of like Sean McVay where you weren't seeing anyone else in the league doing particular things. But as it, you know, it's copycat league, and slowly but surely you'll see, like, the Mahomes will be more of, like, the standard, I guess.
The prototype.
You know, and I feel like Josh Allen definitely has
improved. I think Josh Allen is the closest thing to resemble Patrick Mahomes in his style.
Right, and that's how I feel about it.
And I think Josh Allen might be a better runner.
Yeah, he's has more rushing touchdowns, I think, in his career or the past few years than Ezekiel Elliott. Like, he can run.
Yeah, he's not a small guy. And I don't mean just height. Like, he's built. He would be tough to stop. Didn't he have a receiving touchdown in the last year or two?
Yeah, he did. He is an athlete. Him and Mahomes both coming out of college, the knock was both, you know, do they have too strong of an arm without the touch or accuracy? And I mean, obviously, both of them have perfected it.
I don't think that's even a question. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say was the Steelers plus or minus for the season? 8.5 for wins?
Yeah, it was 8.5 or 9. Eight and a half sounds right.
That's still locked in. That hasn't moved since last we spoke.
Oh, from I've seen, yes, 8.5 is where we're at.
And what was JP's choice on that? Take that over the
other. I think Vegas has it perfectly right there. So I think it could easily bounce either way, but I think I'm going to take the under in this case.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm interested to see if Roethlisberger's arm will hold up throughout the season.
Yeah,
they have the toughest schedule and they have a tough division.
Yeah, and last season they just looked tired and beat. Like, I think the offensive line's even worse now. Bud Dupree's gone. People have already crowned Najee Harris. I think he'll be great, but, like, you can't guarantee anything from a rookie running back yet. Especially if the offensive line as it's been. And I think that their receivers still got to get better at getting open and catching the balls. Like, they had second most drops last season. I don't think Eric Ebron's your answer at tight end, even though Freiermuth has looked better. I think they still need that number one wideout because that's what you need in today's NFL, especially to help out a quarterback as mobile as Ben, who could very well be dead last in terms of starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I like having a group of competent wide receivers that are all good, but without that star guy since Brown left, honestly, like, they haven't.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and Juju has never stepped in to be number one.
Right. Like, supposing, you know, in Buffalo you get a sack and then an incompletion, like, who's your guy on 3rd and 15 who you're going to throw the ball to in that offense? I'm not necessarily sure we have that guy.
Right. Can the offensive line block for 3 seconds to get Roethlisberger out? And will Roethlisberger be able to throw it that far? I know a lot of people said he still has the arm. I think that remains to be seen. Show me that he can do it I mean, he's done it 10 years ago, 7 years ago, but with this new group of receivers, I think they have to prove it again.
Yeah.
So who are you? Who
I
are
agree.
You? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, it's not the explosive team it once was with Bell and Brown, where I feel like the offense just clicked naturally. Like, these are young players as well. They're just, like, you know, you got a rookie running back, receivers still on their rookie deals, a brand new offensive line, and then there's Ben. Like, I just don't see it click. I don't see their offense with Matt Canada doing some of the more progressive things with Roethlisberger as your quarterback.
Do you think Roethlisberger's hesitant to do some of the new things? He's just an old dog and doesn't want to learn new tricks?
It's not necessarily that. The Steelers were very progressive, I feel like. Like, they were, like, doing two-point conversions before anyone else was doing it when they had D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell. So I don't think they're, like, afraid to try things new. I just don't think Ben's quite the athlete, which is, like, the example where you see, you know, the 49ers drafting a Trey Lance to replace a Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the Vikings drafted a quarterback in the second round, too. It's like, we might have a good quarterback, but, you know, this only goes so far. And I feel like the game's just moved on from Ben, where trying something new just doesn't work with a guy, you know, who's as mobile as
he doesn't have the athleticism to keep up with today's NFL.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That's how I would
now, say. Who, what's your choice for the Steelers-Bills week one? You said Steelers are getting 6.5?
I'm still going to take Buffalo. I think they could survive Pittsburgh by a touchdown. Yeah, I know Buffalo and Pittsburgh, when they played last year, what was the final on that?
Did they play in Buffalo last year? Or I would assume they played in Pittsburgh if they're playing in Buffalo this year. They usually don't play division home and home, but.
Yeah. But Buffalo beat them last year 26-15. And that was like during the aftermath of like the Steelers starting to fall apart.
Yeah.
So the Steelers should be better rested, I feel. But I think Buffalo's really a force to be reckoned with this year. They're going to take it to Pittsburgh and win by at least 7.
Now, the one thing is Buffalo has a lot more expectation this year than they have before. So will they live up to that? And I know that's something, I mean, maybe you could look over, but certain teams, once they have, I mean, you could say that with the Browns too. The Browns could have been happy making the playoffs and stuff. Now they're looked at as possibly the favorite in the AFC North. Can they hold up to it?
Yeah, and I definitely feel that pressure for Cleveland because it's just a poorly ran organization. But I think Buffalo, they seem to have found like a good coach. I like McDermott and what they're doing. I think they're building a winning culture.
I agree. I like Buffalo a lot more than Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have what it takes to take the AFC. Now, JP, can you tell us any more picks? So for the people out there, say they're in a pool where they have to pick 5 or something. Can you give us your top 5 and what the spread is and why?
Sure. So first one I'm taking Seattle -2.5 against Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
Seattle has upgraded the offensive line. They acquired Gabe Jackson this offseason. Dwayne Brown is coming back from a holdout. So offensive line, which was their main concern last season, has been upgraded.
How do you feel about Carson Wentz stepping in Indianapolis?
That was the next thing I was going to do. Carson Wentz has been, let's say, dealing with injuries throughout his career and inconsistent since the Super Bowl run that Nick Foles finished for him.
Yeah.
It's a new team. I just think Wentz is coming off a very mediocre season, and now he was dealing with injuries, and then there was like a COVID issue with him too.
Oh, really? I always thought Wentz had like the physical talent to be a good quarterback. Maybe Philadelphia just was a bad fit for him. Although he was decent there. What happened in Philadelphia? Where Doug Peterson's gone? Everybody from that Super Bowl run seems to be completely gone.
It seemed like it just changed overnight, and like they never found a good wide receiver. Like their receivers have been bottom of the league for the past, it seems like, 5 seasons.
It seems like forever. They had T.O., but like before that, and I'm talking way back when they had like Freddie Mitchell and those guys, like they've always had like what the Steelers have right now, but worse. Like, the Steelers have a bunch of 2s. The Eagles have always had, like, a bunch of 3s and McNabb and Westbrook.
Yeah, of course, in Philly, I saw just past couple seasons, they drafted receivers back-to-back years, one in the first, one in the second. And the picks directly after those selections were also wide receivers. And those receivers were DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson.
So in theory, they could have those two as their wide receivers right now.
Yes, but instead they took yeah, it's like that Rager, Jalen Rager, and someone else.
That's always my favorite, to see, like, the people, like, they'll do the drafts from years ago, and they'll show, like, who was taken before Hall of Famers. Like, all the quarterbacks drafted, and, like, okay, even the Roethlisberger one with Philip Rivers and Eli Manning. Then you have J.P. Lossman, like, those people.
Yeah, you see Jacksonville, who have David Garrard. Like, David Garrard's won playoff games against the Steelers. He was not bad, and you could see them trading up, taking Blaine Gabbert, and the next pick's J.J. Watt, you know.
That's absolutely insane. And when you see, like, some of the older ones from, like, the 80s and 70s, like, when there's Hall of Famers taken, and I mean, I know there's no exact science to it, but certain ones, like, how do you miss two wide receivers like that? And then, well, maybe it is Philadelphia. Hey, let's blame Philadelphia. I have no problem blaming Philadelphia.
Blaine Gabbert just got his Super Bowl ring, too, which is more like, say, for Garrard and JJ combined. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully two of the Watts get a Super Bowl ring this year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if one of them plays.
If Derek gets traded to Arizona, maybe. That'll be the only way. Okay, so you were saying about Indianapolis?
Yeah, Indianapolis, with the whole situation of Carson Wentz coming in with the COVID and injuries. Quentin Nelson, best offensive lineman in football, injured too. I think he remains questionable. So at the moment, Seattle's the better team. I think Indy has so many questions right now. At quarterbacks, the first game without Anthony Costanzo, their left tackle, who retired. Like I said, Quentin Nelson will be out. Carson Wentz isn't. I'm just not sure what I see in Wentz. And wide receivers are an issue. I think they're young, still developing. But I think T.Y. Hilton's going to – he's listed as questionable as
well.
I agree.
I like Seattle to cover by a field goal easy.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson and these guys upgraded their secondary. They got Jamal Adams under contract. I think they're going to be much better and should win by a field goal at least.
All right. JP's first pick, we have the Seahawks. Number two.
Number two, Kansas City -6.5 against Cleveland.
Okay.
Kansas City is going to take this by at least a touchdown. I think they have the most explosive offense in the NFL. Only way they were slowed down the Super Bowl was because they played the best pass rush in the league without a starting tackle. Despite that, I think that Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Kelce, all of them should be, you know, full force week one. I think Cleveland's secondary still has many holes that they need to fill.
That seems like a big spread.
They have seven new starters on defense this year.
Kansas City?
Cleveland.
Or Cleveland?
Yeah.
How? That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, all these needs in the secondary, that was their slow point in their team last year, was the secondary. And I don't think the offense alone is going to keep up with Kansas City's offense, yet alone the place of each team's defense.
How do you feel about Odell Beckham Jr.?
I feel like he was great his first couple of years. Phenomenal when you look at the numbers in New York. I just don't think he fits Cleveland. They play better when he's not in the game. Baker can make better throws without forcing the ball to OBJ.
Do you think that's, like, what the problem is? Because he forces it there?
What's that?
You answered my question. I was saying, do you think that is the problem, that they force it there?
Yeah. I think when you get that receiver, that's how I feel with Julio Jones coming to Tennessee. Like, are they going to specifically do stuff which is going to take away from what you do best, which is run the ball, with Derrick Henry or with Cleveland, you know, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb?
Yeah. They seem like they'd be better off spending, you know, letting him not be there or trading him. You don't see trades like that rarely in the NFL. But having that money spent on defense and keeping Jarvis Landry, I think Jarvis Landry is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the game. I see him twice a year being a Steeler fan, and I think he is just a beast possession receiver. And then their running backs, yeah, I agree. But Kansas City giving almost a touchdown. That seems like a lot to a team that made the AFC Conference Finals, right?
Is I think Kansas City can beat anybody by a touchdown easily. No,
that is true.
Yeah, Cleveland is ranked widely across experts. Like, they're going to be a top, there will be a playoff team. Many people have them as a top 5-10 team in the league. And I mean, I just feel like their secondary has many issues. And like, I just can't be sold on a team that's been horrible for forever.
They have to do it. Yeah. They have to prove that they can do it before they can be. And they've won a playoff game, but that's like the Pirates winning a playoff game. Years ago, and then everybody thought they were good, and then they never did. Like, you really do have to do it, and you have to do it for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see Baker Mayfield get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. And if they do, it's going to end in at least, like, suppose it is a shootout. I feel like 6.5 is still not enough points. This is not going to end on a game-winning field goal. Chiefs will win by 7 at least.
All right, so we have Seattle over the Colts, and we have Kansas City over the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this week I'm taking a lot of minuses. I like a lot of these favorites, even with the point difference this week. So next one, I'm taking Green Bay -4 against New Orleans. Okay. I think Aaron Rodgers is ready just to go on a tear again. I think he wants to.
Does he have a chip on his shoulder?
Like, not that he's like, I think this is like a personal thing. Like, he wants everyone to know how great he is. So he's going to like go out. And just dominate.
Could you see Aaron Rodgers like dominating, but do you think his pride would let him let the Packers win like a Super Bowl? Do you think he would just be like, you know what, I'm not going to play in the Super Bowl?
No, I think he would win it so everyone knows he has it, then he'd leave.
Yeah.
He
is the most like drama queen. Maybe not drama queen because he's not like out there, but he's the most passive aggressive, is what I should have said.
Yeah, arrogant. And the media love to make excuses for him. You know, like he's had Devontae Adams, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, like great wide receivers, but media always say he needs a better defense, better receivers, a better coach. It's like, we gave you all of these. Then it's like, he needs a home playoff game. He needs, you know, it's everyone else gets deemed choke artists, like Peyton Manning, Tony Romo were choke artists. Or like,
right.
You know, like, Lamar Jackson has to throw the ball better down the field. You like?
Yeah, I agree. I've never thought of it.
Always make excuses for Aaron, but like, you know, no one makes excuses for like Russell Wilson. Like, he overcomes things.
Yeah,
Aaron doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I think he's a good quarterback, but I just think personally he seems like such a douche that I'm turned off by it. And then I hate him in the State Farm commercials, as I've said on the regular Poor Man's podcast. He just seems like he seems douchey. But what do you think about, Jameis Winston in New Orleans?
I think he's high risk, high reward, as he's always been. Like, last year for his career, where he started through for 5,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5,000 yards is a lot of yards.
It's a lot. Yeah, but he also had Godwin and Evans, you know, who went on to win a Super Bowl this year. So he had great receivers. Saints receivers right now are the worst in the entire NFL, probably including Philly.
With Mike...
Michael Thomas is out at least 6 weeks, so that leaves, like, Traquan Smith and whoever they have. Like, I don't even know who they have playing tight end anymore, either.
Yeah. So
I don't see a fire. You know, maybe Drew Brees elevates that team if he was still a little bit younger, but he's retired. I don't see Winston to elevate anything.
Especially against Aaron Rodgers right now. They're playing in New Orleans, though.
Yes, that is true.
So that's the only thing they kind of have going for them, but I really don't think week one in New Orleans that Aaron Rodgers is going to be shaken by that, or anybody on that team. Devontae Adams is probably the best receiver in the league right now.
Plus, Green Bay's a playoff team. Like, they have a good deal. Like, Jaire Alexander is potentially the best corner in the league, him or Ramsey, and like, he's going to lock down whoever he's covering, especially if it's on the Saints. That takes away Jameis Winston's number one option already.
Yeah. I could be the fifth receiver of the Saints right now, probably.
Right.
Okay. So we have those two. How about two more picks?
Two more. Baltimore -4.5 against Vegas.
I thought you meant against the Vegas line. I'm still not used to them not being in Oakland.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know if John Gruden knows what he's doing.
He doesn't seem like, I was so up on them when they came back. I thought he was going to make Derek Carr into this you know, this some unworldly quarterback, be everything that David Carr was hyped up to be and wasn't, and they aren't. Vegas is not very good.
No, and it's like Derek Carr, I feel like, is kind of an underrated quarterback.
But Gruden's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer who does everything.
Right, and then he gets stuck on this team. Like, they don't have a number one wide receiver. They might not even have a number two. Like, I don't know who they have.
They have that white Ruggs. Dude, Hunter Renfrow from
Clemson.
I remember him just because I remember them. Like, he is the least NFL-looking player ever. He's, like, balding. He looks like he's, like, one of the dads at my kid's school. He would be at the PTA meeting. Like, if I saw Hunter Renfrow in the street, I think I could take him.
Right, 100%. I heard, like, a story. He was, like, burning Jalen Ramsey in, like, training camp.
Oh, I think he's fast. Oh, is he not even on the team anymore?
No, he is there.
They do, like, the local team.
Yeah, and Ramsey was all mad. He was like, I don't see the actual video of any of this. But, yeah, that was all legend. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had the game-winning touchdown in that national title game against Alabama, too. Yeah, he's quick as hell. But definitely not the number one wideout.
Yeah, for sure. What did you say the spread was again?
4.5.
So Baltimore is giving 4.5?
Yes. Vegas's defense, I don't think, will contain Lamar Jackson, simple enough. I think Baltimore, despite them missing a couple running backs, they still got Ronnie Staley back at left tackle. I think that Baltimore's just a physical team. Vegas wants to have that reputation, but I think they're, like, physical without the football IQ that Harbaugh and the Ravens put into their program, I think.
Uh-huh.
So Baltimore's, like, physical, but they're smart, whereas Raiders, I think, they'll be a much more penalized team throughout the day, giving Lamar and them free yards. They got Mark Andrews locked up to a long-term deal, so I think he'll be happy to get the ball, too. And I think Gus Edwards is actually a good running back, despite what other people are saying. He's more of a power back, which actually fit Baltimore when they had Mark Ingram back there. And then I think when they lowered Ingram's workload last year, their run game actually took a step back a little bit. So
I think
thunder and lightning of Lamar and Edwards and see how that goes.
I hope so, because Edwards is my fantasy running back. So hopefully every week he's not playing the Steelers, I hope he goes on a tear. Now give us your fifth and final pick.
All right, my final pick for today is going to be, I'm going to take, this is a tough one because it's a lot of points, but I'm going to take the Rams -7.5 against the Bears.
Oh, wow. Who's quarterbacking for the Bears?
Bears are still putting Andy Dalton in over Justin Fields, but I mean, there's a possibility Fields comes in at any given moment, considering Andy Dalton's quarterback.
Do they think that Andy Dalton's going to take them to a Super Bowl?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. Because, I mean, they were a playoff team last year. They've had success with Nagy or Trubisky or whoever they've had. I guess Dalton, they just think, might be more reliable. Maybe he's just trying to save his job. But I think Fields brings another dimension to the game, despite the rookie mistakes he might make. But
I still think the ceiling on Andy Dalton is much lower than Justin Fields. Like, maybe if you play Andy Dalton and go to a 500 record or a game over 500, I guess now, Justin
these
Fields can win a game.
Yeah, these young guys can play if you look at recent like draft classes. Like, I think you got to just give the guy a chance and see what happens.
I think you take your bumps the first couple weeks. He's a rookie guy, but yeah, you're learning and, you know, Take a couple losses, and it will be better for your team in the long run. Absolutely. Andy Dalton's not winning you a Super Bowl. He might not lose you 5 games, but, I mean, what's the goal, to win championships or to bask in mediocrity?
Right, 100%. And, like, you just got to make the change to, you know, get yourself to that level and see if this is actually the guy. But on the other hand, I like the Rams this week because Sunday night in L.A., The NFL wants a market in L.A. so badly.
Yeah.
They have this game on Sunday night. New quarterback. I think the Rams are going to want to put on a show. And they have the firepower. They have the firepower of Goff. I think Stafford's a much better quarterback than Goff was. Still, they added Sean Jackson to go over the top. So Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods across the middle. I think the Rams are going to put up points. Now, the Bears, I don't think will be able to answer. They Rams still have Aaron Donald clogging up the middle. They're a much well-prepared or coached team. And I think Jalen Ramsey, you know, just blanket him on Allen Robinson and, you know, force someone else on the Bears to move the ball.
Correct. All right, so let's go over this. We have Rams over Bears, Seahawks over Colts, Chiefs over Browns, Packers over Saints, and Ravens over Raiders.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Those are your picks. We'll check back next week to find out about that. Now, Sports Guy JP, before I let you go, I was watching this documentary yesterday called The Orange Years, I think. It's a Nickelodeon documentary. It's worth a watch for anybody who's grown up watching Nickelodeon. And it kind of showed them in the years, you know, how it started and how they got content and grew from there. And, you know, the games like Double Dare and stuff like that. Now, and then when I got really into it was when, you know, I was born in 90. So I was really into the Legends of the Hidden Temple and stuff like that. What are you thinking about doing some insight on some of the old sports games from Nickelodeon?
Yeah, so I was thinking maybe for the show, Nick Gas was something I grew up watching. A lot of the reboots in, like, the early 2000s.
For the people at home, Nick Gas is games and sports. So those are the guts. Those are, like I just said, with Legends of the Hidden Temple. I'm interested to see some of the guts stuff.
Yeah, so I wanted to do some in-depth research and then determine, and in particularly Legends of the Hidden Temple and Guts, and determine, you know, which team was the best when you analyze completed temple runs, maybe Penance of Life, you know, like games that you win, Steph's knowledge. And then you could rank the teams accordingly, 1 through 6.
Who are you taking as the all-time Hidden Temple winner? Have you done any research yet?
I have. But my prediction was correct.
Okay. I think it's either Orange Iguanas or Silver Snakes. But you know what? I'm going Orange Iguanas because orange is my favorite color. So I'm going to be a homer, but we'll find out in weeks to come. Sports guy JP
would work out too, because then you could do the colors red, purple, and blue, or you can even like global guts.
I was going to say, are you going to separate it from regular guts to global guts? And has there ever been a contestant in global guts who wasn't into soccer?
Yeah. Everyone was into, I guess it was the most popular sport in the world, so they were all like...
It still is, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the 90s when, you know, you'd get like Maria Sharapova, who was like 16, telling you how to hit a tennis ball.
Oh, yeah, that was on gas. They had that. They had Ryan Nyquist, I think, the biker. They had a lot of good ones for the people who've watched Nick Gas. So we're going to try to do a sports little extra each week, keep it around 30-45 minutes, you know, just a light thing. We'll be able to talk more into the Steelers as weeks come, but as now we have a preseason kind of thing, the end of the preseason, the beginning of the season. JP, first game of the season is what, Thursday?
Thursday, yes. Dallas and Tampa Bay.
Why do they force Dallas down our throats every time?
They do, but I don't really mind it this year because, I don't know, they were on Hard Knocks. I guess like they're always like a high-level interest team. But I'd rather watch them in Tampa play. I'm kind of excited for that rather than getting Dallas-Washington on Sunday night then.
Oh, they always do the NFC East. I'm guessing it's just because of the markets with Philadelphia, Washington, and New York, and Dallas. They want them in the light all the time, even though that is perennial the worst division. They always suck.
It's always competitive, though.
Yeah, it's competitive like how Seattle made the playoffs at 7-9. They're competitively shitty.
I was going to say... They rebooted the line to 7.5, but I would have said take Tampa Bay -6.5 too. But they rebooted to 7.5, I think. I guess Zach Martin's not going to play, so maybe that may have had an influence on the point.
Wow, how often do you see an offense? Well, I guess, you know, you see a point go from an offensive lineman, though, so that's some respect for him.
I think maybe there have been questions about Prescott's injury being cleared up, but I think he's had multiple injuries, it seems like. So, like, a shoulder was coming after that. You know, one yet last year at the ankle, but I still like Tampa Bay too, -7.5.
Well, we'll see how Brady looks again for his, 48th season now?
Yeah, and not coming off like a torn MCL or whatever he had.
He is such an enigma. Like, what even is he? He blows my mind, and that's something I, when anybody, this is kind of a side note, we'll end it after this. When anyone says, like, ooh, Tom Brady sucks, like, that pisses me off so bad. He's the GOAT, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. 100% agreed.
Sports Guy JP, we'll check in with you each week. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And, guys, thanks for listening. We'll check back with you next week. For Sports Guy JP, I'm Chris. Thank you for listening.